Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us for another prayer time today. I'm Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton, and got a lot of things to discuss with you today on Drive Time, and so hope you're having a great day, enjoying this absolutely beautiful weather. I mean, you cannot argue with this forecast, at least for the next couple of days. Right now, we've topped out today in the upper 60s for most of western North Carolina, with sunshine dominating the area. Tonight, a few clouds rolling in, but the temperature is going to be at the bottom. It'll be in the upper 30s, so a cool night tonight. Sunshine on Wednesday again, upper 60s, and then sunshine on Thursday. And listen to this, mid-70s. Now, I'm seeing readings in places of western North Carolina for Thursday that could reach the upper 70s for Thursday. And then rain moving into the area for Friday with showers. Temperatures in the upper 60s, chance of rain is 80%. Then right now, looks like a beautiful day shaping up for Saturday with partly sunny skies and temperatures in the low 70s. And that is the gist of the forecast over the next few days. And so, hey, with one day of rain and the rest of it sunshine in the 70s, you really can't argue with that kind of a forecast. The vernal equinox, the first day of spring, is coming up in less than 10 days. But, you know, most people consider this springtime. We're going to have to get out the lawnmowers and the weed eaters and get going for the next 8 or 9 months. And so thank the Lord for getting us through the winter and looking forward to a beautiful springtime season. The schedule and network sponsors for today for the general operating budget of Anchor Broadcasting being sponsored by the Senior Men's Sunday School at Fletcher First Baptist in honor of their pastor, Roy Waldrop, as well as Gunn Davis and David Gentry. And we appreciate the Senior Men's Sunday School class of Fletcher First Baptist Church. The network budget being sponsored in gratitude for Spirit-led deacons that are a blessing to their pastor. Amen to that, and we appreciate Spirit-led deacons that support and get behind their pastor and good sponsorship today. The one of the main headlines for news right now is inflation and gas prices. Now, it's interesting to me how that we recently heard in the State of the Union address that all of that was going down, that there was a downward trend in inflation and costs for families. I will tell you this. I've got my bride and I, we have 4 kids in our home, and they range in age from 18 down to 5. And so there's all kinds of needs, and there's all sorts of requirements and needs for, you know, when you got a family of that size, and some of you have an even bigger family, some of you smaller. But every family and every home has their own list of needs and concerns that they have. I can tell you this, as a dad and with my wife and 4 kids, things are not getting cheaper. Can I put it like that? Things are not getting cheaper. Now, there may be something out there that's going down in price, and that's, Pastor Barton says, the exceptions prove the rule. But the truth of it is, almost everything is going up. And what you used to be able to get for a certain dollar figure, you can typically guarantee that you can no longer get it for that amount anymore. And that's just the way it's, that's the way things are going. And some of you are feeling that at the gas pump. Some of you are feeling that more so at the grocery store. Some of you are feeling that at the department store. Some of you are feeling that when you go online to place an order. Things are not getting cheaper. And that's not a complaint. That's just a statement of pure truth. And so for the leadership of this nation to make comments that things are getting better when it comes to inflation and prices, that is just simply not true. So one of the areas that really affects everybody is gas prices. Okay, so if you need transportation, you're going somewhere, gas prices will affect you. Last night I was talking to a good friend of mine. They have a Suburban. They said every time they go to fill up the Suburban, it's $100. And I understand that. I understand that. I drive a minivan. I know what it's like to fill that up. Gas prices are not going down, regardless of what somebody might tell you or what you may think. Gas prices are not going down. According to CNN Business, now this is just an article that popped up today, prices at the pump are rising fast, and it's not even springtime yet. The bottom was $3.07 a gallon for the national average in mid-January. And as of Friday of last week, the national gas average, according to AAA, is at a four-month high of $3.40. And that is a very fast increase. Now, from mid-January to not even mid-March, in less than 8 full weeks, the national gas price has gone from $3.07 to $3.40. Okay, so we're going to chat about that for a few minutes. All right, so hang tight. So in viewing this from a standpoint of inflation, me and my sons have been studying a little bit about inflation and how that really it's something that could have been prevented completely if the right people did the right thing at the right time. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And now we have this issue on our hands. So I'm just going to bring you a little bit of information and talk about it for a second. So when it comes to inflation in and of itself, consumer prices rose almost 0.5% in February, and they are up over 3% from a year ago. So when you have a national spokesman get on a television or on a computer or on whatever, whomever it may be, a congressman, our president, anybody, senator, they get on this, a governor of a state, get on a camera and make the statement that inflation is going down, and then the numbers prove the exact opposite, then we have an issue on our hands. Okay, and only two things could be happening. Either somebody's being dishonest or somebody's completely ignorant. Now, when it comes to us on our level, there are times that we're ignorant about things. And ignorant or naivety, whatever word you want to use, simply meaning we're not informed, we don't know. Or dishonesty says, I do know, but I don't want to really tell what's true. Regardless of what the situation is, the truth of it is, inflation is going up. Okay, inflation is going up. Gas prices are going up, and you're feeling it. And I would love to, you know, paint a beautiful picture of everything that's going on right now. And I'm a big optimist. I love to tell nice, good, pretty stories. But you're feeling it in your wallet, and you're feeling it in your purse, and you're feeling it in your debit card, and you're feeling it in your savings account. How that you could have something that is being taken away from you because of irresponsible decisions being made by the leadership of this country. Okay, so that's in general inflation. Let's take gas prices specifically. Okay, so I'm on, so you can use this website called Gas Buddy. And I'm on here to see, let's see here. Okay, so the lowest on the whole map is going to be $2.50, and I'm trying to see if it's even on here anywhere. What is this one? This is going to be okay. So up in Minnesota, I'm talking about on the west side of the Great Lakes in Minnesota, on the shore. The lowest on the map that I'm seeing right now is $2.84. Okay, that's going to be in the region of St. Louis, Minnesota, not St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis, Minnesota. There's a few spots of prices that low. There's one, in the middle of Colorado, there's a 289. Middle of Wyoming, 280. This is Tennessee. Let's see, this is going to be on the other side of Johnson City, 284. So a couple of low spots scattered across the country. But then you get to California, and the whole state, the gas average is over $4.50. Let's see, $4.63 for Tulare, California, $4.58 for Shasta, California, $4.76 for San Bernardino, California, San Diego, $4.81, San Francisco, $4.68, Los Angeles, $4.93 a gallon. So that's true for California, that's true for Chicago and some of the areas of Chicago. Seeing prices that high. Let's look at North Carolina for a minute, okay? State of North Carolina. Let's zoom in on this. Okay, so right now, according to this website, which is which is pretty much real time. Some of these numbers I know are not exactly right because I've been through some of these areas and seen it to be a little higher than this. So these numbers typically are a little lower than what you're used to seeing. So let's break this down here. So in Asheville, in the Asheville area, you can go see this on the gasbuddy.com website. Let's see here, Asheville. Okay, Asheville's a little, Asheville and South Asheville into Hendersonville is going to be a little more, is going to be a little cheaper. South Asheville down to Hendersonville is going to be a little cheaper than the north side of town. So let's look at the greater Asheville area south. It's around $3.02 a gallon on average. Looking at Waynesville, $3.08 a gallon per average. Looking at everything in between Asheville and Waynesville, it's going to be in the teens, $3.17 a gallon. Let's see, this is $3.19 in Brevard, $3.19 in Black Mountain, $3.17 in Bryson City, $3.19 in Madison County. Let's see here. Hendersonville, exactly $3. And okay, wow. Okay, 28791. What is that? Is that Hendersonville? $2.92 reporting there. 28715, $3.11. So it's up. Everybody knows it's up. And specifically over the past 8 weeks, it's up significantly to the tune of, in some areas, a quarter. Okay. That affects everything across the board. When gas prices are going up, everything is going up. So when you're looking at these numbers and then you have national leaders getting on board and saying, hey, everything's getting better, things are getting cheaper, and costs are going down, and it's just not, you know, not true. It's simply not true. On this particular map that I'm looking at, within, let's say, 100 miles of the Asheville area, it seems as though the cheapest gas is going to be found in between Knoxville and Crossville, Tennessee on I-40, $2.89 in that area. Just above Chattanooga, $2.88. Morristown, $2.89. Those are going to be the cheapest prices in our area. Clemson, so this is going to be Pickens County, $2.88. Where is this? This is going to be just below Spartanburg, $2.85. So, listen, we all know it's going up. And we're just praying for God's help in these days, God's wisdom for our country to make the right decision with leadership on who's supposed to take the steering wheel in this country. Now, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So therefore, that's ultimately what we need more than anything, is we need God's intervention. And so praying for that in the days to come. Well, I'd like to change gears here for just a minute and talk about something else on Drive Time today, something that I've had in my mind and in my heart recently. There's a subject that me and my wife have been talking about for a couple of years, and I've spoken about it briefly on Drive Time before. And I'm going to throw a word at you here in a minute, and that's, it's a word that a lot of people get nervous when they hear. They don't like this word, but it's a good word. And I want everybody that's taken the time to listen today to think about this word for just a minute. And it's the word philosophy. Okay, now when a lot of times when people think of philosophy, some people think of Aristotle and those guys, philosophers, and they were. And then some of you, when you think of philosophy, you think of a big $10 word that goes over our heads, and sometimes it can. But the word philosophy simply means the study of ideas about knowledge and truth and the meaning of life and the fundamental aspects of reality and human existence. Now, let me bring that down on my level and your level. It's simply understanding your purpose. If we don't want to use the word philosophy, we could use the word purpose if you want to. Philosophy is thinking about your purpose. Okay, so for the next few minutes, I want to I want to intrigue you. I want to get your brain in gear on thinking about why God created you. We know that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And are you fulfilling your purpose? Now, some of you, your purpose is obvious. You have gifts, you have talents, you have things that you're able to do. There's no doubt that those things are, it's obvious. I think of James and Faith York. It's obvious. They have a gift for writing music. They have the music gift with the piano. They have the music gift with the writing and the singing and the harmony. They're that's their purpose right now. They're doing that. I think of some great speakers. I think of men that I know over the years that have done a great job influencing people with their words. They have a gift with words and their speaking ability. Like Dr. Harold B. Seitler was not just a pulpiteer and a preacher, but he was a motivational preacher. He could get up and preach a message and motivate people to do something better than what they're doing. And we're going to talk about that for just a minute. I want you to examine your mind for a moment and think about your purpose. What is my purpose in life? So when you think about philosophy, I had this quote pulled up by longtime great preacher that's in heaven now. Pastored the Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, just outside of Knoxville. Pastor Clarence Sexton. He's on the preaching channel. He's on Pulpit Hour. He made this statement. When you launch out by faith to do the will of God, God will meet you. I cannot imagine all the ways God will work to meet you, but he will make himself known to you around every corner and in every trial that he is with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to trust him and believe him. Have a bold faith, an adventurous faith, because if it can't be done by faith, it can't be done in a way that pleases God, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's going to require faith. Pastor Clarence Sexton said that last year. And the verse he uses is 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. The reason I use this comment, I make this comment to my church and to our friends at Share-a-thon and to any kind of event that you do. Either you have a plan or the devil's going to have a plan. Okay, so with Share-a-thon, we have very detailed schedules. We have very detailed layouts for everything for folks to know where we're going to be and what we're going to do. Because if we don't have a plan, the devil's going to come up with a plan. If you're a pastor and you have a church, then you need to have a plan for what you're going to do in the next month. If you don't have a plan, the devil's going to have a plan. Now, sometimes that plan gets interrupted. Sometimes God overrules that plan. Sometimes the plan just doesn't work, and that's okay. But if you don't have a plan, then the devil's going to have a plan. You, as a dad, you need to have a plan for your family. As a mom, you need to have a plan for your kids. As a husband, you need to have a plan for you and your wife. And as a wife, you need to have a plan for your marriage as well. As a young person, you need to have a plan for life, or the devil's going to give you a plan. Okay? Or he's going to throw a plan out there. So it's better to have a philosophy or a way of thinking that is in agreement with A, the Word of God, B, the spiritual direction of God in your life through the Word of God, C, through events that take place in your life that demonstrate your skills and your talents and your gifts that you have. And some of you may be thinking right now, you know, I have no gifts. Everybody has a gift and a talent. Everybody does. Everybody has something that God has put in them to do. So ask yourself that question right now. What did God create me to do? What is my philosophy in life? Well, me and my wife a few years ago, it's a long time ago, we wanted to lay out an outline, if you will, a set of philosophies that we're going to stand on no matter what happens. No matter what happens in Washington, D.C. or Raleigh, no matter what happens in the school scene, no matter what happens in the economic scene, no matter what happens in the world today, we've got a philosophy that says A, B, and C. And it's found in John 14 in verse number 6. Now, by the way, I would never suggest you have a philosophy based on something that you picked up at Barnes & Noble or at Amazon or anywhere else. I wouldn't base my philosophy on some man's words. I'd base my philosophy, all of it, on the Word of God. And remember, philosophy is simply thinking about your purpose. That's what philosophy is. Having a purpose on purpose, and knowing in your mind and in your heart why you believe that, why you think that way, why you do that thing. And the philosophy is just, philosophy is kind of like the instruction manual for a vehicle. You pull it out, you look and say, oh, this is where the battery is, this is where the attachments are, this is how this works and that works. That's what the manual's for. We have the Word of God as our manual, and our philosophy should be based on what the Word of God says. Okay, so when me and my wife laid out kind of like an outline of our lives, we said three things, all found in John 14 verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I've mentioned that here on Drive Time before, those three things, the way, the truth, and the life. So let's briefly examine those. The way would be people getting saved. Okay, now, I'm never going to change by God's grace, with God's help, with God's mercy. I'm never going to change my opinion, which is based on biblical fact, on how a man gets saved. My philosophy, and all four of my children have been saved this way. The only way to be saved. My wife was saved this way. I was saved this way. My dad was saved this way. My mom was saved this way. My father-in-law was saved this way. My mother-in-law was saved this way. All my grandparents are saved this way. Aunts, uncles, everybody that I know in my family, my extended family, my community, my church that are going to heaven, every one of them has been saved one way. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. That's the salvation of souls. That is by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as Jesus said to Nicodemus, we must say to the lost world, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is only one way to be saved from hell, have access to heaven, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansing us from all sins. And that is salvation by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love how Pastor Barton put it when we were in Bible college. He said that the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, got us out of hell. And his resurrection provided a way for us to get to heaven. I love that. I love that. That makes perfect sense to me. And that's the first step in my philosophy. I will not bend by God's grace or break or bow to salvation in any other method, in any other way. I'm not gonna agree with Buddha. I'm not gonna lock arms with the Muslims. I'm not gonna salute the Mormons. I'm not gonna go along with the modern and the liberal ways of today. Salvation by grace through faith goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when mankind fell for the very first time, and God promised that he would make a way, and he did. And that way has been the only way ever since. So that's the salvation of souls, the way. The second guideline for the philosophy of my home, and you set them up for your own home, but the second line that we draw is not only the way, but the truth. And that is the authority of the King James Bible. Now, there's a lot of people that say a lot of true things. There's a lot of people that say a lot of false things. There are people that say some truth and some false. But there is nothing from Genesis and the first page of Genesis, in the beginning God, to the last line of the book of Revelation and the last word of your Bible, amen. There's nothing from Genesis to Revelation that is untrue. It is all true. all fact, and all true. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, now that's John 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The truth is the Word, and that is Jesus Christ. In the book that you have called the Bible, I've got a red one over here. It's a R.L. Allen King James Bible. R.L. Allen is the publisher, and of course the translation is English King James only. And that is a group of between 30 and 60 translators in about a half a dozen colleges from 1604 to 1611, taking the Geneva and the Tyndale and the Wycliffe and the others, and finding the issues and the problems in those old English translations that people shed their blood for, their tears and their sweat and their blood, to give us an English Bible. And we have the purified Word of God translated into the English language in 1611, and it is the only truth. Just like salvation is the only way, your King James Bible is the only truth. Sammy Allen, when I was a kid, he made this statement one time. We were in church. He made this comment. He sold Bibles. You know, he had that table that he had put in the back of the church, and he'd put Bibles on it and sell them. He made this statement. He said, if you have anything other than the King James Bible, he said, you need to take some duct tape and put it over the words on the front where it says Holy Bible. He said, take that duct tape and put it over those words, Holy Bible, and then take you a permanent marker and write on that duct tape, this is not a Bible. Because any other translation has been marred by the hands of man and by the filthy lucre of man's profit. The King James Bible, written without a copyright, is there for free. And really, King James had a desire for the common man to have access to the Word of God rather than just the bishops and the priests. He wanted every man. He wanted a farmer to be able to read the Bible when he came home from plowing his fields. He wanted the blacksmith to read the Bible when he came in from beating on the metal all day long. He wanted a mother who had been hand washing clothes all day to be able to dry her hands and sit down next to the fire and read a Bible. That was the goal of the King James Bible, and we have that. And it don't matter if you're impoverished or you live in the Biltmore house, you can have a Bible. That's the truth. There's the way, the truth, and then lastly, the life. Now, the life of Christ today is the local New Testament church. So me and my wife decided years ago that if it has to do with the salvation of souls, the way, if it has to do with the King James Bible, the truth, and anything written therein, and if it has to do with the local church, the life of Christ today, we're willing to take a stand on it. And that the rest of our philosophy is built on those three truths. If there is any kind of gray area in the world today, you define what you don't know by what you do know. There's a lot of things in the world today that I don't know. I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. I can't compute it. But I can look at Jesus as the way, Jesus as the truth, and Jesus as the life, and the local church, the Word of God, and the salvation of souls, and I can define everything else. Everything else can be defined by the way, the truth, and the life. So set you up. Dads, listen, go home tonight, get you some coffee or whatever. Sit down at your table and write down some things with some verses in your Bible that you're willing to take a stand on no matter what. Do it today. Don't say, hey, we're going to do this in the future. No, do it today. Mom, write some things that you're willing to lead your children and your in your marriage and in your home, some concrete things that are worth taking a stand on. And do it today. All right? There is a lot to pray about. I got a message earlier today from somebody that's struggling, needing prayer. Got a message early this morning. Folks have been contacting the radio station about prayer requests, and we always appreciate you calling in, sending in your prayer requests. But one specifically for a gentleman needing the Lord's help with a work situation. and the Lord to help with his coworkers, and God cares about that situation. And so as we pray, you remember that as well. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and the beautiful weather. We thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God, the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray for this man and his work situation. Please help him. For all the dads and the moms out there that are trying to lead their families, for kids that are growing up in this troublesome world, God, help us to stay true to you until you come. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm Brian Coates, sitting in for Pastor Randy Barton. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.